Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. See, we are a growing entity here. And sometimes, you know, it's like the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Remember when it first it started being in use, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay.
Sometimes the roof opened, sometimes it didn't. It's all good, man. It's
we
all
got
good.
It all worked out now.
Hey, listen, you're going to hear a lot of that later on today. Of course, we got the Falcons right here against the Cardinals. Pre-game at 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1. Later on tonight, we got Eagles and Rams, 7:30 pregame, 8:20 kickoff. And while I'm at it here, you get some basketball action over on our cousin station, WV103. Hawks and Nets pregame, 2:30, tip-off at 3 o'clock. But it's all about the NFL this hour. We talk to D-Led usually every Sunday. We're going to be joined by him about 8:20, talk about today's game and any other questions surrounding the Falcons. And coming up later on in the hour, going to talk to David Archer, who played with Bill Frelick, who we lost this past week. Former Falcon, played a minute and a half I think we finished up with the Lions.
With the Lions.
But this guy was a borderline Renaissance man, so we're going to talk about him with David. But as we do every Sunday before a Falcons game, we hear from Falcons head coach Dan Quinn as he joins John and Hugh right here on Sports Radio 90. I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. Let me try to get this right here.
Yep, here we go.
To recap what happened
last
week. Recap Saturday, and to look ahead with our own Falcons head coach, Dan Quinn.
But the conversation starts off with John asking Coach Dan Quinn about the Vince Lombardi quote. It's not how you get knocked down, but how you get back up. Does this accurately describe where the Falcons are right now?
Well, there's no doubt we would. That part of the team is right to make sure we fight. What I really want to make sure we're emphasizing, man, is the details, the focus to get right. And the part of the fight part of it, you know, I know the guys will do that, but it's a matter of these details, no self-inflicted wounds, and that's going to be what it's going to take for us to play like we're capable of playing. So, yeah, we'll get back up. You can count on that. That's going to happen.
You know, Coach, when you look back on the film after you evaluated this week, what are some of the points of emphasis you'll focus on during the practice this week?
Yeah, well, I hit on a couple things. First off, I thought we made some progress and we want to build some momentum in the run game. And so you know how important that is. You've heard me talk about that. So to get those opportunities and to get that part going, we're going to continue to build on that. You've heard me talk about our importance of the turnover margin. We missed it. That was one of the three things that I had spoken about the week before, where we can force more fumbles, we can create more turnovers defensively. And to finish -2 when that was one of the points of emphasis for practice, that's not getting it right.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn, Falcons and Cardinals Sunday at 1 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Coach, you look at the team right now, and I guess we ask the broad question, who and what on the table for evaluation at this point of the year?
Well, you better believe we're evaluating everything, and we'll do anything to get it right. And so that part, there's a lot to play for and a lot of guys to, fight and see where we can get to it. But the most important thing is how we go about doing that. And so I love the process that we go through to get ready to play. But now we need to go and carry that out in this game this weekend with the team. So we're looking at everything. That's what you do when you're in a tough stretch and you find out what you can improve upon. And so, you can bet for sure we're looking at everything and, start with me to find out, what parts do we have to do better for us to play like we're capable of playing.
With this evaluation process going on right now, Coach, will we start to see more position rotations through these last few games?
Well, there won't be more of that, really, Hugh. The guys that we're wanting to take a look at, they've earned their reps, in practice to get ready. And so, that was Hill at running back, and that's been some Brilo at tackle, and those are Oliver, some at corner. So those were guys, based on, the work they've been putting out here at practice, they've earned some playing time. And so we wanted to make sure that, when we had those chances, they would get their opportunities. And that's kind of the fun part of being in a competitive environment like we have here. When you do that, you get your chances, and you got to make sure we follow through on that.
Talking about the Arizona Cardinals' final home game of the season against the Atlanta Falcons coming up, as they face off on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Head coach Dan Quinn joining John and Hugh. So let's talk a little bit about the team. What is the status right now, Coach, of Devontae Freeman and the overall team health going into this game?
Yep, we'll give you a good assessment. For Devontae, we're in the same space. He's making progress for sure. He's not back practicing this week. He's still in the rehab portion of him, and we'll just take it all the way through this week and see where it goes heading into next week. Hooper, we've got good news on that it's not a long-lasting serious injury for him, so we'll see how he'll progress this week. He won't practice today, but we're definitely not ruling him out for the weekend. He's a guy that really puts it in, and in the past, whenever he's had something, he had an ankle a few years ago, and, man, he puts it in to try and get ready to play.
From an offensive standpoint, Coach, what does Arizona Cardinals offense bring to the table?
Well, I think, number one, and you probably know this, it starts with Larry Fitzgerald. And it's all the things that he does outside, at slot, things that don't show up on the stat sheet, like the way he can, block, the way he, goes after DNs to chip. It's all those things. And then you'll like Johnson when you see him as a running back. He's a complete guy. He catches out of the backfield. He lines it empty. They can screen to him. That part of their game is really, in good space. And then the quarterback, live arm, can really rip it. And so they got some speed on the outside. So they're trying to, take their shots down the field. They have the ability to complete the big ones due to the speed at receiver, running back, and, of course, with Fitzgerald.
Right, and more on Josh Rosen, Coach. What have you seen? I mean, these young quarterbacks, there was a lot expected. That whole class that came in this year in terms of the young quarterbacks, and Rosen was right towards the top of it. What have you seen from him on film? Because, you don't get a chance to see much of the Arizona Cardinals, so they're largely an unknown team to you in a lot of ways.
Well, it's number one, you have a sense for, going through the scouting process. You looked at he and Darnold and Mayfield and a number of the guys, and oftentimes you'd look at them against common opponents. So that was my first exposure, was during the offseason to him. And knowing that when you scout some of those guys in the offseason, okay, you want to have a good feel because you're eventually going to be playing some. So I think even though you're scouting them, obviously weren't looking for a quarterback, but you still go through the process to get a feel for the player. And man, I thought he could really rip it, quick delivery, and has the arm strength to, put it in, the tight windows. He threw a good deep ball, which is an important thing because those are where the explosive plays comes. I thought a good deep ball, he had, quick release, he could get rid of the ball. And so those were the things that jumped out to me off the tape.
Talking with Dan Quinn about the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons coming up Sunday at 1.
Yeah, on the defensive side of the ball, Coach Chandler Jones, he jumps out at the page for me.
Yep.
For me, what does he bring to the table, and what type of defensive player would you describe him as?
Well, I would say ideal first, and it would be, it's the speed and the length that he can play with. So with his arm length, you've seen him, he can get a long arm or stab a guy and be able to counter back inside. So some rushers have, one of the two where they've got really good speed, or, or some guys are shorter, more square, power related. Would we know anyone like that as a rusher?
I know somebody that comes to mind immediately as soon as you said it.
Yeah. So he's not that player, but he has got really good instincts, Hugh, when to come under, when to counter back inside. And I thought he's really playing at a high level. So sometimes, on seasons where teams aren't playing and performing as well, you still recognize, when a player is really hitting at a high space. And Chandler Jones, to me, is one of those guys this year.
We're talking with head coach Dan Quinn about the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons. Here it is, last home game of the season. What is it that kind of the one thing you want to see? And when you talk about turnover margin, you talk about, everybody kind of getting connected on the same page. What is the one thing you really want to see this week from your club? I mean, obviously, we all want to win, Coach. We understand that. But,
yep.
In terms of, kind of being on the same page and progressing in terms of advancing what you want to do here.
Yep. The first one would be that turnover margin. Let's make sure we're finishing this game in the plus. That means defensively they've created a few. Offensively they've done a good job of taking care of it. The next thing on the offensive side, let's make sure in this game we're able to sustain some balance from a run-pass standpoint. That it allows us to play at our best. And I certainly hope, we're going to improve on third down. This system that Arizona has, the head coach came from Carolina, so we have some familiarity with the scheme. It's not exactly the same because you don't feature every player in the same way, but we've got to work it out for us, with a good scheme and one that we've gone against before. Defensively, man, just the relentless effort, really good gap control in the run game, especially with a back like Johnson. You've got to make sure you're rock solid because he's a really patient runner. John, he can stay, wait, and then jump cut at the last second if you jump out of your gap. and then find ways to affect the quarterback. And that's what I'm looking for, that relentless energy, the toughness. Those are the things that I love about the team, and I want to make sure that comes to life. And so for everybody who sees us play, when they say, man, that's Falcons ball right there.
Yeah, I know it's been a hard time, frustrating time. You know, for all of us fans, I wonder if you, you know, I'm sure you do, Coach, you know, kind of feel the same way. I mean, there's one thing to have turnovers and penalties, and it just seems like Murphy's Law. I mean, the turnovers couldn't be coming at the worst time. The penalties couldn't be coming at the worst time than they seem to come for this team. And it's like, oh, of course, yeah, all right, here we go. You know, it's almost like, are you kidding me? I mean.
Well, that happens some, but we can control those. So that's the part that, you know, it's going to turn for us. And I just know we've got the right guys to go get after it, and we plan on doing that full throttle this weekend. So we're pumped to be back home. Man, we're fortunate of how we want to go after it. So let's go do it, man. We got, you know, lots to play for, lots to get after it for. And, most importantly, let's make sure that style really comes through about, the way we want to play.
Maybe it was a sign from God. Did you feel the earthquake this morning?
No, I did not. But, what was the number of it?
It was a 4.4 at 4:15 this morning. And it rumbled for about 10 seconds or so.
All right. I must have been thinking about third down asleep. I don't know. you might have me on that one, yeah. So I hope everybody's all right, but, yeah, it's pretty rare around these parts.
Yeah, right. Well, Coach, we look forward to seeing the team back at home on Sunday. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
There you have it. Coach Dan Quinn joining John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We hear him every Sunday, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Before their game. You know what? I had a question I was going to talk to you about or ask you having to do with the game, but then he flipped it. And it's actually pretty telling, because if my mind is on my job and given the state of the team's position this year, I don't think that he would be sleeping much at night. And then if he is or isn't, how could he not hear or feel an earthquake? He's preoccupied with something.
Yeah, something we really preoccupied with some things. And he mentioned a litany of things that he needs to see from his team today, from the aggressiveness maintained to sustaining some drives, you know, to some red zone, third down conversions, which is so important for that, for sustaining those drives. Just things, you know, it takes just fundamental stuff when a team is playing and having the results that the Falcons are having right now.
I can't tell you a better person I've ever seen in this town. I mean, from Bobby Cox to other coaches and managers that this city has seen when the teams are down, that puts such a positive spin on, well, all we can do is tie them up and get ready for what's next. And he lets you believe that this is, you know, whatever they're facing next is the beginning of the resurgence.
Yeah,
he's going to turn things around starting this week, and he sells that as good as anybody I've seen in this city.
He does, because you figure it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere with the game. Being at home would be a good place for us to start, and Arizona's a good team for it to start against, actually, but they still have to go out and get it done. And to me, that's the bottom line.
You've covered a lot of teams in this city. Where this team sits right now, I mean, there's other teams that have had actually worse records, and you feel that. But for whatever reason, I don't know that I feel like this is a 4-9 team. I mean, as the famous phrase is, you are what your record says you are.
Right.
But this guy, and maybe it's his selling of it, but you have to go, oh, yeah, he's talking about a 4-9 team, not a team that's like 2 wins away from the playoffs.
No.
And I guess that's a testament to him, though. Listen, we're not done talking about the Falcons. Their beat writer's up next. He joins us every week. That's D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Hey, just a kind of weather-wise morning, but it doesn't matter because it's a what?
Game day Sunday.
That's all you really care about. This is a story. Having a game day Sunday morning, man. So, anyway, as we get ready for the Falcons game, which, by the way, you can hear pregame 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1. We got more NFL action tonight. Eagles and Rams pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8:20. And wedged in between, if you're a basketball fan, Hawks and Nets. And you can hear that game on V103 pregame at 2:30. Tip off at 3. I haven't done this in a while, so I'm going to ask you again before we get to D-Led. Dolphins became the first undefeated team on this date. So they played that last game on this date. What year was that?
D-Led would know.
Well, I'm asking you, though. D-Lay, we've been doing this all morning long, actually, kind of a little game that Sam and I are playing. So you came pretty close with the other one.
I'm thinking like 72.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
There you go.
Yikes.
Now, here's a bonus question.
Bonus question.
O.J. became the first player, running back, obviously, to get 2,000 yards in a season on this date. What was that year?
Let me delay that on that one.
Come on. I'm asking you.
78.
D-Led? O.J. getting 2,000 yards?
2,003 yards, exactly.
Exactly. What was the year?
I'm saying 76.
You were 1 year off from the other one. It was 73.
73.
Okay.
19. And the crazy part about this is, if people don't remember, that was a 14-game season.
Wow.
That wasn't no 16 games. It was 14 games.
14 games.
Anyway, D-Led, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Greg and Sam. Thanks for having me once again.
You've been in this position, unfortunately, before, meaning cover a Falcons team who's out of it, maybe needs some changes. I was reading your 9-9 this past week, and you're talking about, you know, retooling the defensive backs with the injuries they sustain. When you talk to the fan base that's listening right now, what can we hang our hat on positively about this team?
Well, you saw the development of DeMonte Casey as a legitimate player. He can play free safety, and they project him to be able to play a nickelback. You've seen the development of Foyer Ulukon, the rookie from Yale, sixth round pick. You saw him move past Duke Riley in the linebacking room, and then on the offensive side of the ball, you've seen Ito Smith show that he can be the backup running back. If Freeman can make it back, and you may be able to put more on his plate. You've seen the development of tight end Austin Hooper. So in these seasons where there is some wreckage, you do have some players that step forward and some guys that you can build on moving forward. If you remember in the Michael Vick year, Roddy hadn't been living up to his draft status, but Paul Petrino got him to play. So that was something they pulled out of that abysmal season. So, you got to go ahead and look for, the Falcons got three or four things that have stepped up, that have happened for them that, should be well for the team moving forward.
Spending time this morning with D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC at AJC.com. That's a lot. That's a lot, some things we look for positives, because as I tell people, D-Led, you don't want the thing to come in and say, why don't you just tank? That stuff is not as easy to get out of your locker room as people may think. And to me, it's very important for this team to keep pressing forward and looking for ways to do good things on the field. I don't want to take the chance on guys getting that attitude and taking that approach. It's not that easy to get rid of, to me.
Yeah, no, that's you don't want losing seeping into your locker room in any way possible, especially when the players think the management's bailed on them. And then, in football, that's when players get hurt. You don't want to see that happen to anybody. So, yeah, you play to win going out here, trying to close it out 7-9. Certainly looks a whole lot better than 4-12. Yeah, you know, the draft's a crapshoot anyway. The 10th best player might be the best player in the draft. I know Darrell Revis went, after the Falcons drafted Jamal Anderson. So, just be better in your draft and be ready to find the best player available. So, whether you're picking 10 or 15, the draft's a crapshoot anyway. So go out there and win and build on that. That'll be more beneficial to the franchise moving forward than tanking some games to get some draft picks.
Good. You talk about the draft being a crapshoot. This is another rookie quarterback we're facing today. We faced one with the Browns. We faced one with the Ravens. Talk about this one and what allows the Falcons to maybe have a different outcome against Rosen.
Yeah, this is the one that I like the best out of the group. He was a classical, more experienced, more polished drop-back passer. Unfortunately, they don't have a line in Arizona for him yet, and they might mess him up. He's had 9 different starting offensive lines, so they can't protect him. So he's operating the worst offense in the league statistically. So he's not much of a threat for the Falcons, but, We thought that about Baker and Lamar too. So that, you know, they're gonna have to go out and play. But he's got Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, and no line. So that's what he's coming in here with, Josh Rosen. So if the Falcons don't get after him, it's going to be a long day at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And the crazy part about this is, you mentioned Michael Vick a minute ago, the guy who, during those Petrino, Michael Vick leaving us time, the guy who filled in, Byron Leftwich, is now calling the plays over there in Arizona, correct?
Yes, Air Leftwich. Byron was a fine pro when he was here that year. He took over for when Petrino got fed up with Joey Harrington.
Joey Harrington.
The ball. He put Leftwich in there. And then he got his ankle jacked up, and Chris Redman ended up finishing out that season. But, yeah, Byron's getting his shot. Coach Bruce Arians brought him in to the team, and he's getting his shot to run the offense now under new coach Steve Wilks.
That guy could throw a ball, but it took him forever to get it out.
It took him a week and a half to jumped on guard before it came out.
I mean, it would drop back there. So when's he going to let it go? When it comes out, it would be smoking hot, look great. But it took him forever to turn it loose.
Jeez. Yeah, he had a little wind up to him like a pitcher. But yeah, that ball was hot. I know Algie Crumpler used to work on the sidelines with him to get used to catching his ball when he was here. That was one of my memories of that year, was Algie off to the side working with Leftwich to, you know, get used to the ball coming out. But yeah, he had a cannon of an arm. It just looked a little weird.
You know, D-Lit, it's rare that we take a second to talk about the other team and what they have, but it's rare that we get an all-time great coming through this city. And when we do, should we take a second and talk about him? And I put this guy in the same category as Tim Duncan and Jimmy Johnson and NASCAR, all-time greats, but yet for whatever reason, they're not part of the conversation when you start talking about it. And do you think that people really appreciate Larry Fitzgerald's career?
Yeah, 35 years old, 15 years, 9 Pro Bowls. He's lauded. We don't see him every year. So, certainly out west they do. And, his one big moment was the Super Bowl when right. they nearly, if Santonio Holmes doesn't make that circus catch, he's got a ring. I know there's one tie to Atlanta that, you know, we've written about over the years. You know, Roddy used to go out to Arizona every year and work out with him. And, so those two guys are close. And through that relationship, of course, Julio knows him too. And we'll see two of the greats on the field today, no question about it. The football people know him, but maybe the general fans who don't get to see his work on a regular basis, don't know him because he's not out there acting a fool or kicking the ball into the rack or wearing blonde hair or doing, you know, crazy stuff. So, but football people who really like the game certainly know who Larry Fitzgerald is and know that he's going to be wearing one of those yellow jackets someday.
It's a trip back home also for a guy on the defensive side of the ball that we saw play great high school football ball out of Grayson High School and Ole Miss, and Robert Kondichis, and going to the NFL. We've been waiting to see him break out and all the promise that we see from him. Where do you see that he is right now with this Arizona team?
Well, I've been following him because our buddy Thomas Sims, one of the fine local agents here, had hooked us up this summer. And Kondichis out, Sam. He was coming on. Talked to Coach Wilks about him this week. He had two really good games here, and they were finally getting something out of the former first-round pick. And then he suffered a knee injury, and he's out for this game. Went to IR, had surgery on Wednesday or Thursday. So he's going to miss today, and then they got to make a decision on, him moving forward. His career has been slow to take off in the NFL. But they think they, finally got him focused and ready to go. I think they'll, keep him moving forward, but we'll see. Corey Peters is also coming back, former Falcon, former draft pick under Coach Mike Smith, who's going on to have a pretty solid career out in Arizona.
Talking to D. Orlando Ledbetter, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're going to talk about this more in the next segment, but we have to take a second and ask you, and I realize this is before you started covering the Falcons, but Sam and I are going to talk to David Archer about the career of Bill Frelick. Any thoughts from you on him as a player or what's being said inside the building this past week as he was lost to cancer?
Yeah, I talked to Dave myself, and Dave has some great stories to tell about him. I called Gerald Riggs, and Gerald and a teammate shared their kind of text exchange, and they were talking, you know, some of the great stories about Frelick. You know, he signed late and came into the locker room, and, you know, they tried to make him sing his fight song, and he grabbed a ketchup bottle and tapped the ketchup bottle like it was a microphone, walked up to the front of the room and said, "Hey, you know, we're all here because we're in the money. We're in the money." So he was a funny guy and a great football player is what I was able to gather from those, because I know exactly who he was. I was in college the same time, or just finishing and starting my career covering the Bengals at that time. But Bill was, you know, a great college player, three-time All-American, two-time top 10 finisher in the Heisman, the inventor of the pancake block, or they started to call it that, from the Pitt University's Sports Information Office. They were great back then with the one of the great publicists were the Pitt Panthers folks. So they publicized Dorsett and Frelick and Marino, all those guys back in the day. And Bill went on to have a very fine career here blocking for the Falcons. You know, didn't fit under the Jerry Glanville crew and left to go to Detroit and finish his career up there. But, yeah, just a blue-collar, get-in-your-face grinder blocker that, you know, you need in the NFL that can play in any era.
Yeah, folks. Hey, look, you can follow him on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC, DOrlando Ledbetter. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Let's get a win today, can't
we? Thanks, D-Led.
Hey, I don't care if they win, Sam. I just need a good story to write.
D-Led, appreciate it, man. He says it every week.
He's honest.
Thanks. We are going to talk to our own David Archer next, continuing the conversation about former Falcon Bill Frelick. Up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. If you will, Eagles and Rams. That should be pretty good. Well, what's up with these Eagles, though, this year?
Yeah. They kind of.
Well, the guy who won the Super Bowl is going to be back at quarterbacking, right?
Right.
So it could be a pretty good game.
Al Foles back.
Eagles and Rams pregame at 7:30. Kickoff at 8:30, and NBA action right here. Hawks and Nets pregame at 2:30. Tip-off at 3 o'clock, and you can hear that game on our sister station. Or is that cousin station?
Cousin station.
V103. We normally spend this time, you and I, Sam, talking about the NFL and games we got coming up today and our thoughts on them, what's going to happen. And if we have a minute, we'll get into that. But we wanted to reach out to our co-worker, David Archer, former Falcon. He will be on the call today for the Cardinals and the Falcons. But he played with Bill Frelick. And we couldn't think of a better guy to call up and reminisce about Bill Frelick's career and him as a person. So we got David Archer on the phone. Dave, thanks for taking a minute and coming on with us, man.
Always good to be on with you guys.
Again, when you heard the news this past week, what ran through your mind?
Well, I knew that, you know, obviously Bill had been sick for a while. And but, you know, the finality of losing somebody that you got in the trenches with and you spent so much time with and stuff, it's always tough. You know, first thing was the memories that flooded in of being with Bill on the field, of course, but off the field as well. I had many a beer with Bill Frelick through the years, and we had a lot of laughs, as did a number of my teammates with Bill. He was a tough dude, man. I tell you what, a tough guy. He was a guy that looked at you and intimidated you. He was just big-bodied lineman that was an outstanding college player at Pitt, of course, College Football Hall of Famer, and then he moved inside. The Falcons moved him to guard, and he was the preeminent guard for the time he was with the Falcons. He was the guy that was the kind of the trendsetter there, big lower half, come off the ball, just shorten your neck because he came off in the run game, and big, powerful guy that he locked you up in pass protection. You weren't going anywhere. So, but the memories of us laughing and having a good time are what come into your mind. And then, of course, you flood into what you did as a player as well.
Well, let's take a second to talk about those last before we get between the white lines, because we just had D-Led on, and he was talking about the situation that all rookies go through when they have to sing or do whatever the team makes the rookies do in front of everyone. And D-Led told a story about Frelick grabbing a ketchup bottle and having to sing his alma mater's fight song.
Well, he didn't really sing it. He grabbed the that was what you had to do, is you had to have a fake mic. So as he's as you can imagine, he's in the back of the room. So this gigantic human being comes up and somebody says, "Hey, you got to have a mic." So he swipes a ketchup bottle off of a table as he's ambling towards the front, and steps up there and just pretty much says "F you" to everybody and slams the ketchup bottle down and walks off. And so.
Better.
I mean, there were some of us that were laughing, and others were cheering or applauding and stuff like that. He just had that edge about him, and it started the first day he was there with the fact that he had to sing his alma mater from Pitt. He wasn't having that either, you know. So that was the way he played too. He played with a rough edge about him.
All right, so talk about Pancake Block. And the fact that the folks up at Pitt, when he was there, kind of coined that phrase when he was there.
Yeah, so many times, Sam, and he did it at the Falcons too. Is his ability to deposit a guy onto his flat on his back, and that's where the Pancake Block comes from. And there were so many times you could put on the tape of Bill in college, and then subsequently with the Falcons, where he would come off the ball and I use the term shorten your neck. He would reduce a guy physically and then deposit him on his back and just crush him. And just, it was like a truck running over you is what it was. And so you ended up flat on your back, and that's a pancake block. You knock a guy on his back, and Bill was, I don't know how many he had, but he certainly was the record holder as far as I could tell. That's just what he did.
You know, David, since he passed earlier this week, I've read a lot of comments from different players and yourself talking about this guy. As you said, when he hit the ground running, when he joined this organization, and one of the things that he had said in comments from other players was that when he got to the Falcons, there were people evaluating the defense, special teams, and everything but the offense as far as their toughness. And he said, you know, that he was not having that. How long did it take you? Because it sounded like this guy was one of the offensive leaders on the scene, which you don't hear that much coming out of offensive guards. How long did it take for you, once you started playing with this guy, to realize, okay, we need to follow this guy. You know, he's the one that's going to lead us into battle.
Yeah, it didn't take long, Greg. It really didn't take long. He was a guy that he didn't say a lot. He was not a guy, a rah-rah guy. He might say, "Come on, guys, let's get going," or something like that. And that was it. But it was just the way he looked, his demeanor. He was a rough guy, and he looked rough. He was a guy that had a really good sense of humor, but it was disguised behind this rough exterior. And if you didn't know him, you wouldn't say anything to him because you're afraid he was going to tear your head off. But he was a guy that had a lot of fun. He had a great sense of humor. He was really good about pulling jokes on guys in the locker room and keeping a straight face, because it just, you didn't know what was going on, and so you never knew he was the guy that had done something. So it was fun to get around, to be around him and get a chance to know him in that regard. But just from a leadership standpoint, he's led by example. He just came out and like Sam said, he just pancaked this guy. And if you weren't willing to do that, you needed to go find somebody else that would. We were the number one, we were number one in rushing 85 and 86. He got there in 85, I believe, is our first-round draft pick, and I think we were one or two in the league and running the football with Gerald Riggs running the ball, and he was a big reason why.
Spending time this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Dave Archer. You're going to hear him later on today with Wes Durham and John Michaels on the call over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the regular season home finale for our Atlanta Falcons, and I'm sure they will remember Bill Frelick before kickoff today. Arch, what can we expect to see from this Falcons team? What do you feel like is paramount, the most important thing for this team at this stage of the season?
Well, I just come out and play like a pro. You know, you obviously there's nothing on the line as far as playoffs and all that kind of stuff. You know, you're trying to let the organization know you want to be here, and so there's a lot of pride involved. Unfortunately, Sam, you know, I had to play in a number of these games in my career, so you had to go out and show them that you belonged at this level, first of all, and that you wanted to be a part of this organization. That means pouring yourself out for your teammates. And it's something that Coach Quinn has preached since he's been here about the brotherhood. And people think the brotherhood translates and that's about winning. It's not. It's about having the other guys back. And it's about playing as hard as you possibly can, regardless of what the stakes are. And so that's the key part about it. We can talk about taking care of the ball and no penalties and all that kind of stuff. But just block your guy. Tackle your guy. I mean, that's what it's about. And do it with the with the importance that it would be in week one. And I think the only thing that typifies that is Julio Jones caught a pass last week on a shallow drag route against the Packers and scored in the front corner of the end zone and ran over and handed the ball to a little girl or a little boy, I can't remember which, 10-year-old, in the front of the stands at Green Bay and Lambeau wearing a Julio Jones jersey. This might be the only time that that person will ever see Julio Jones, but he made that moment for her because he was playing as hard as he possibly could. And that's what you have to do. You have to keep that in mind. Regardless if somebody's got your jersey on or not, you owe it to the fan, you owe it to your teammate to play that hard. And we know that Julio's going to do that. We know Matt Ryan's going to do that. Everybody needs to do that.
You're talking about arguably the best wide receiver in the game. Finally, I want to ask you about you as the next quarterback. You're going to see when an all-time great on the other side of the field today. Your thoughts on Larry Fitzgerald and his career as you watch him?
Yeah, one of the guys that embodies just what Julio did, a guy that comes to play each and every week, a guy that works as hard as he possibly can, was not the fastest guy in the world, but had good size, had excellent ability to catch the ball in traffic, and he's transitioned that into easily a Hall of Fame career. He's a guy that's genuine off the field. He's done a tremendous amount of work off the field in that Phoenix area while playing with the Arizona Cardinals. He was a tremendous college football player at Pitt. And I'm sure his heart is probably going to be heavy a little bit today because of Bill as well. One of his brethren, he didn't play with him, but he was a fit man. So, but Larry Fitzgerald is as good as it gets, and so it's another reason why you come down to the stadium and watch maybe for the last time exactly. One of the great players of all time, Larry Fitzgerald.
Hey, listen, David, we thank you for your time this morning. Have a great call today, and again, appreciate your time talking about Bill Frelick.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Arch.
Mr. Crenshaw.
Yep.
You want to wrap this up?
Yeah, push a button
there. Yeah, yeah, thank you.
There we go.
I got something.
All right.
I got like a Volkswagen stuck in my throat.
That ain't
good. I can't get it out. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.